listening to Arkansas Prep Extra, powered by Scorebook Live, a podcast exclusively for high school sports in Arkansas. Here are your hosts, Nate Olson and Kyle Sutherland.
What's up, everybody? Thanks for joining us on episode 32 of Arkansas Prep Extra, powered by Scorebook Live. I'm Kyle Sutherland alongside our baseball guru, Kevin Bohannon. And if you guys like what we've been doing, please be sure and make sure you're subscribed to the show. You can subscribe on Spotify and, of course, always listen on scorebooklive.com under the Arkansas tab. And just make sure you're subscribed if you do listen on Spotify so that way you never miss an episode when we release them as we do every single week. We're in the final week of all spring sports. Just about every school has had their graduations at this point, and all that's left in the school year is the spring sports state title games, which will be held at the Benton Sports Complex in Benton, Arkansas. Soccer, softball, and baseball. It's going to be a jam-packed weekend. It's all right there on the same campus, just literally to your left of the softball fields, to the left of the softball and baseball fields is where the soccer games will be played. So going to be a fun Thursday through Saturday. And Kevin, it's been a long day, a long few days already at this point, getting through the state tournaments, really a long few weeks dating back to district tournaments. But now it is officially time to crown champions.
That's exactly right. And in baseball, everything kind of worked out the way we thought it would. Class 1A and Class 6A are going to crown new champions. The other four classifications had their defending champions in the title game. So while we did have some upsets, we had some heartbreak, we had some upsets. It's been a lot of fun, and it took me back to the playing days a little bit. I mentioned this to you in a text, like, this is just as tiring covering this stuff as it was playing, because you kind of get emotional with these teams because you get invested in what these kids do and what they're going through, because you and I have both been there. You did it in football and I did it in baseball. These kids leave it all out there. And at the end of the day, they're teenagers and they're doing what's best for their school. They're giving it their heart out. So congratulations to the teams that have made it, but congratulations to all these other teams that made it to the state tournament. It's not easy. And we know some of these kids have played their last inning of baseball. They've had their last at bat, their last pitch, their last throw across the diamond into the infield. So, we're all told at some point that we have to stop playing a kid's game. We just don't know when that'll be.
Yeah, it's always bittersweet. I think I said that last week or the week before. It's bittersweet this time of year and in the weeks past, because the teams that didn't make the postseason, that's when their season ends. And then as we go along, more teams advance, some teams advance, more teams are knocked out. So it is tough to see that. You see the celebration from the team that wins, and then you look over to the other side, and then you see the grief and just, yeah, the pain. I've experienced it three times. I've lost a state championship, and then I've lost in the playoffs two other times. And it's brutal, especially when you know, like you said, Kevin, that you're not going to play ever again, especially in football, because, you know, you can always pick up a basketball or pick up a baseball and a bat and go play somewhere, but you can't always just pick up pads and go play somewhere. Or if you do, you're probably going to end up with a broken bone doing it around our age. So, but nonetheless, we'll get into some baseball here, starting with 1A as we always do. It's going to be Taylor versus Nemo Vista, however you want to pronounce that. I think that I said it the right way, but you know how I am with those, Kevin. But that's going to be one that I think really even last week that I don't know that we would have predicted. The teams that we've talked about all year, I go back to, it's typically out of the 1A2, Ezard County, Westside, Greers Ferry, Norfolk. Kevin, none of those teams, not one of them, made it past the quarterfinals. And I think on paper, it was a sure bet that at least one of those three would get to the state championship, probably win it. We thought that that was going to be Westside for the longest time, but it's going to be Taylor of Nemo Vista. And none, like I said, none of those teams out of the 1A2 made it out of the quarterfinals, which was pretty shocking.
Yeah, I think I upset the rest of the state on Friday when I said Region 2 has dominated. Region 2 has dominated Arkansas high school baseball in Class 1A, and Thursday was no different. Three out of the four teams won. The Party Crashers, the party was crashed. Norfolk didn't make it, but they had a phenomenal season. Most wins in school history, got to 20 wins. First-year coach Ethan Davis had a great year. The community is on the map now for what they did. But yeah, Nemo Vista, they were in our rankings earlier this year, Kyle, and then they kind of got into conference play and they kind of went through the motions, but they won their regional. They beat Hermantown 9-4. And then the second round, they beat Izard County 8-6. And then you started thinking, well, the Red Hawks may be for real. And then you look at who they played in the semifinals, the Wichita Warriors, the host team. They were 25-7 coming into that game. Wichita was. Wichita beat them on April 15th, 30-4 in a doubleheader. It was 18-2 and 12-2. So as a high school kid, I'm thinking, well, I think we probably had this one in the bag. Only problem was Nemo Vista had their ace, Wesley Honeycutt, ready, and he shut them down. Nemo Vista wins 6-1, so they punched their ticket to Benton this week. And then on the top half of the bracket, where Westside Grish Ferry resided, they didn't have a problem in round one. They run ruled Lead Hill 12-0. But the second round, they faced the Taylor Tigers, and Taylor has been ranked all season, whether it be 3, 4, sometimes 5. They were always in that top 5 because of their tradition, because of the talent that they had this year. And they came back and they upset Westside 11-9. Taylor made the finals in 2019. They lost to Biola 6-5, so they know their way to a title game. That game was played at Baum. Of course, this one is in Benton. And then in the semifinal game, they played Mount Ida, who they beat last week 5-4 in the regional semifinal game of Region 4 down in South Arkansas. They took care of business, won 11-1. So Taylor and Nemo Vista for the whole kit and caboodle next week in Benton for Class 1A. That should be a really good game. I'm going to go ahead and make my pick right now. I'm going with the Taylor Tigers.
Yeah, I was going to have you go into that a little bit more for Nemo Vista because I think we know Taylor pretty well. We've talked about them a good bit because, like you mentioned, they've been in the Super 7. But I don't know that we've really talked about Nemo Vista very much. I know that you've mentioned them, in certain games that were played. But I don't know that we really know much about them, like at least to the extent that we know these other teams.
Yeah, you know, it's like I said, they started out because they've always been that team from Region 3 that would make it. You know, they're in a conference with Mount Vernon, NOLA. So that they went 6-2 in conference play. I think they're in it with Wonderview, Sacred Heart, Guy Perkins, which I mentioned. So they're up there in their corner of the state. They really don't do a whole lot. They're in North Central Arkansas, kind of wet Northwest. And they just go about their business. They make the postseason quite often. They're just a bunch of guys that just get after it. It's a non-football school like a lot of these Class 1A schools are. Most of them are, but they just get after it, and they're going to be a team that may go down in the record book because they're out of Center Ridge, Arkansas. There's not much to do there. So they get after it. They've been getting after it since August. It's going to be a lot of fun this week to see because – they played a lot of teams early on in their schedule. They played Southside B Branch, which is a Class 2A school that won their regional. They beat St. Joe's last week. They have a Razorback commit. Nemo Vista doesn't have any college commits that I've seen. They may have some kids that go Division II, junior college or something, but they don't boast, that many players that have played at the next level. So Class 1A school, I think they got 6 seniors on the roster. Christian Rodello hit the game-winning home run the other night. He's kind of the guy that he's the spark for that engine. A really good hitter. Wesley Honeycutt, like I mentioned. Ben DeSalvo's another senior. They're a really senior-laden team, and all 6 of those seniors have really contributed here down the stretch. Cordell Sims is another one that has hit really well in the postseason.
Tell you, it's very extremely happy times down in Taylor right now because, of course, their girls are playing for their 5th straight state title in softball. So I'm sure that entire town will be in Benton this weekend. It reminds me of the 1A boys state championship when Bradley and County Line played a couple of months ago. And in the first game, Benny Harris, the head coach at Bradley, said, if you want to rob Bradley, this is the not that there's a ton there. But this is the time to do it because the whole town's in this arena here at Bank OZK Arena in Hot Springs. And that's kind of the same case with Taylor. There might not be a lot there, but if you're wanting to mess around and do some stuff while everybody's gone, this is the weekend to do it because I guarantee you there's not – pretty much the last person is going to be able to turn the lights off with the amount of people that are going to be traveling. So Going to be a good one there in Class 1A. And going up to 2A, we're going to have Bigelow versus Woodlawn. Woodlawn, especially, I don't think that there was any shocker there. Of course, Bigelow, we've talked about a good bit too. And Kevin, Buffalo Island Central was a team that we talked about, been pretty good this year, and I think they've been in the rankings pretty much all season, or the majority of it. But they really turned it on, won their regional, and they made it to the semifinals where they lost 6-3 to Woodlawn. And then also to another team that I noticed when I was looking through the brackets here, St. Joe. We talked about them, how that, I think it was the 2A5, that was extremely competitive. There was three or four teams in there that we talked about for a couple of weeks that were right there at the top. St. Joe, of course, emerged in that, and then they drew Woodlawn. So that was quite a brutal little stretch for them there.
Yeah, and so the three teams you're talking about from the 2A5 are Southside B Branch, who won the 2A Central Regional, St. Joe, who won the district title. So those are two out of three. And the third team, Bigelow, made the state finals. So they all tied for the conference regular season record at 6-1. They all beat up on each other. Bigelow probably had the easiest draw out of there. And I'm not saying they by no means had a cakewalk. They came in as a 4 seed because they finished 4th in their regional. They went 1-2 last week. So they beat Dirks 8-4 in round one. Hunter Alexander, Carter Alexander, big time performances. Bo Billick in round two shut down Rector 11-1. Rector, they came out of the 2 seed out of the West. So that set up what we thought would be the coronation of McCrory to the finals and taking on Woodlawn for the state title. But that was not the case whatsoever. I talked to Coach Craig Neumeyer yesterday. I've known Coach Neumeyer for a long time now. My first regional that I umpired was at their home place at Bigelow. It was the 2A West at the time. It had Central, Conway Christian, St. Joe, Bigelow, Magazine, all those Rector, all those schools in it. And this was really a team first effort. Hunter Alexander caught his first game since he was a freshman in high school. And anybody that knows Hunter Alexander from football and the big run that the Panthers had and how they went out of the state playoffs. It was really heartbreaking for them. So he set a goal to come back. He's going to play baseball in college, and Hunter was really the leader of this team. So he caught on Saturday, which is the first time he did since his freshman year, like I said. They got behind McCrory early 3-1, and from then on it was all Bigelow. They won 10-4. The three names I mentioned, Billick, Alexander and Alexander, Carter and Hunter both had big games, had 2 hits each, and they're rolling right now. Now, they get to play Woodlawn. Woodlawn is firing on all cylinders, and we may have been saying that all year. They lost to Murfreesboro last week, but they didn't have something. They did not have Cale Edmonds. Cale Edmonds was the young man who started last year in the championship game against Southside, shut down that Hornets lineup, which was really good. They lost a few guys this year, but they still had Easton Swafford, couple other guys playing college baseball. They beat St. Joe 15-1 in the first round. Then they got to play Riverside, the Rebels, who upset Carlisle and then upset Mansfield. Mansfield came into this tournament 23-4. Riverside upset them 8-6 in the first round. Woodlawn took care of business 7-3. Cale Edmonds came in, shut the game down, went 3-4 in the game. He went 2-3 in the first round. And then Buffalo Island Central, a team that had won that 2A North Regional last week, they beat McCrory 7-0, had been playing really well. And a name you need to remember, Braden Carmichael, left-handed pitcher for Buffalo Island Central. Here's his stats on the year, Kyle. 42 innings pitched, only 4 earned runs, 64 strikeouts. He has a 0.67 ERA. Did everything he could against Woodlawn. Woodlawn ended up winning 6-3. Cale Edmonds came in, pitched the last 5 innings of that game, had 8 strikeouts, no walks, didn't allow much. So Woodlawn, the Bears, are rolling to the finals once again. This is their 6th straight trip to the finals. This will be Coach Tommy Richardson's going for his 9th title overall, and they're trying to go 5 out of 6 in the championship department.
And yeah, they pretty much lived up to the expectations to the expectations and more, no doubt about that. And going up to 3A, it's going to be Harding Academy, no shocker there, versus Ashdown. Some other headlines from Class 3A, Benton, Haskell, whatever you want to call them. I think most people actually around my area call it Haskell, Harmony Grove. But Harmony Grove up in Central Arkansas, we'll say that much. Made it to the semifinals. Kevin, we talked about them last week or sometimes recently about how they upset Camden Harmony Grove. And that was pretty shocking just because of the way the season that Camden Harmony Grove have had, not to take anything away from Benton slash Haskell Harmony Grove, but I think that that was one that not a lot of people saw coming, them taking down Camden. But they won six out of their last seven regular season games, then obviously had a good run there in the state tournament. And also Duke Walker from Paris. Man, really, you can't say enough about him. I know they fell to Harding Academy in the semifinals, but some of the things that he was able to come in to do during the state tournament, you certainly have to give him some credit there.
Yeah, Duke, you got to be around the young man last summer. He played a couple of times for us in some events where we were down a couple of kids, and very humble young man. Came in, did his business, just takes his approach every day. He was a Missouri commit. I think he's going to go to Coffeyville. I think that's a great fit for him. That's going to get him some at-bats early. He threw a one-hitter against Boonville last week in the semifinals, that regional, the 3-3A regional, but he did not start the game against Rosebud. They wanted to save him for a potential Harding Academy matchup. And you and I have talked about this. Me and Randy talked about it on my Around the Horn segment that you do not save your ace. It'll come back and bite you. And we'll talk about that in 6A in just a minute. But they got down 6-1 to Rosebud and Russ Martin. Russ Martin, the freshman Rambler, had been unhittable this year. He's got two losses. They're both the Harding Academy. So it was a tough road to climb right there, but all they did, Paris came back, won 8-6. Duke almost hit for the cycle. I think it was a home run short. And then the second round, they had to play Prescott. And the Curly Wolves have been really hot lately. Carson Poole came in with that game with 12 home runs on the year. They outslugged Paris, or they outslugged Prescott, 13-10, held on, which set up a game against Harding Academy. Harding Academy, they've outscored their last six opponents. That's all of regional and all the state tournament, 54-2. And two of those runs are unearned. 54-3. Paris had two of those runs. Harding Academy won 9-2. Harding Academy's run, they beat Boonville in round one. Gavin Alvetti, the catcher. I say that in jest because he's become their ace this year. Teams are hitting 148 against him. He may get the ball in the finals. He no-hit Boonville on Thursday. They beat Central Arkansas Christian 10-0. Kyler Hoover, the sophomore shortstop, stepped up, threw a three-hitter right there. And then Cade Smith, who had been battling back from a hamate bone injury. He had surgery 3 weeks ago. He shut down Paris 9-2, hit a home run, dead center field. So Harding Academy's 30-3 on the year. They're going to play Ashdown. And if anybody can beat Harding Academy, I think it's Ashdown. They have the depth. Alex Kilbeck, Jackson Jester, the Thompson boys, Wyatt and Walt. They're really deep. I think Alex Kilbeck will get the ball. He's a soft throwing lefty. He's going to be 80-82. Good little curveball changeup action. So Ashdown made a good run. Of course, they beat Haskell Harmony Grove for the second time this year. Harmony Grove actually beat them 15-5 in the last game of the regular season. The Panthers got the best of them this time, though, 7-4. They beat Elkins in the quarterfinals, 6-2. Elkins had a great year under good friend Hunter Corbell. And Ashdown, of course, had the good draw in the first round. They beat DeWitt 11-1. Really good tournament. Danville, they came back playing really good out of the River Valley. That River Valley conference with Danville, Paris, and Boonville, all three of those teams had really good years. And Elkins, of course, is in that same region. That region really made some noise and turned out to be better than the Manila Walnut Ridge Rivercrest conference. So 3A baseball is a lot of fun. You know, I've coached a lot of these kids in the past 4 years. So I'm really looking forward to that Harding Academy Ashdown game.
Yeah. And of course, Ashdown, just another school. I think that's one of four that we're going to have softball and baseball team there. Cause you got Taylor, Ashdown, Harrison, and Bentonville.
And so
those four right there. And then speaking of Harrison, how about the Harrison Goblins, Kevin? Again, on softball and baseball, they're here. So the baseball team is in the state championship. Softball team got to the semifinals, and neither one of them were supposed to be there on paper, at least according to the quote-unquote experts, I guess would technically be us. But no, I'm just kidding. But won their first game over Star City. Then they squeaked past a very good PA team And then they win a marathon against Huntsville that poor Eric Taylor, the ADG, I think he was there till 3 o'clock in the morning. But they're going to play Valley View in the state championship, and nobody saw this coming except for maybe the Harrison Goblins.
Yeah, it's a lot of blue and gold that's going to be on the field. I think they play on Friday. They play on Friday. But, yeah, Harrison, really good offensive team. They outslugged Star City. That was a game. And let's get the first round of the state tournament in 4A, all four teams that won scored 14 or more runs. Shiloh beat Fountain Lake 15-5. Valley View beat Farmington 15-3. Robinson blew away the Billies of Monticello 15-0. And then Harrison, they were the run of the bunch. They only scored 14 runs, but it was enough to get around to the second round against Pulaski Academy. This is how they won their first run. Kel Busby, that got over, and they scored a run in the seventh inning on a wild pitch. So sometimes if the bats aren't there, you got to find a way to manufacture offense, and that's what they did. And then the marathon game against Huntsville. Now, Kyle, these two teams played in the 4A North Regional Finals last week, a game that Huntsville won 13-10. Huntsville, they stole home in the top of the seventh inning to go ahead, which was kind of funny the way it worked out. They were really excited about that, but it got close there at the end. It was 12-11 at one point, and Harrison pulled away late. Beck Jones, the catcher, delivered the final knockout blow. He had a two-run home run in the top of the seventh to make the final 17-11. And then Valley View, they pretty much carried the 4A banner all year after being the defending 4A champions from last season when they beat Magnolia. They were down 3-2 in the sixth inning against Farmington, and that was one of the really good games I expected in the first round. Then they got hot. The bats went off. They scored 13 runs in the sixth inning, capped off by Slade Caldwell, the sophomore Ole Miss commit. He had a grand slam to walk off the Cardinals 15-3. They advanced to second round, playing a really good upstart Arkadelphia team who had won 11 straight games. They won their conference, went 14-0. They won their regional 3-0. They ran into Valley View. Valley View continued to swing the bats. Trip Campbell really struggled this year. Trip's going to be on an All-Arkansas team. He may be on the All-Arkansas preps by the ADG, but I can guarantee you he's going to be on an SB Live All-Arkansas team. Valley View was just too much. And then yesterday, on Saturday, they beat Shiloh Christian 9-1. Grayson Beckett, Slade Caldwell, Tyler Hoskins, they just did their job at the plate. All three of those had two hits each. Slade Caldwell and Hoskins actually had three hits in that game, rolled 9-1. So Valley View and Harrison, two teams that one was really expected to get there and one really wasn't, but I bet it'll be a really good game. You got two contrasting styles. Harrison likes to run up the score. Valley View pitching defense has some really good sound fundamental baseball players, but should be a really good game.
Before we move up to 5A, I wanted to ask you, I know that Lone Oak was one of those teams that we had talked about for a while, and then you know Shiloh Christian's a good team, but did you expect Lone Oak to lose 4-0 in the quarterfinals?
So it's set up. Shiloh Christian threw Luke Bowerman in round one against Fountain Lake, and they brought in Caleb Anderson, the senior catcher/pitcher, for about 20 pitches. So he got some work in that game, which is pretty much a light bullpen to him. Caleb was the starting catcher as a freshman back in 2019 and then 20, the COVID-shortened year. So he had a taste of championship baseball in 2019 when they lost to Nashville. He got the start on the mound and was masterful for the Saints. He went 6 1/3 innings of perfect baseball, perfect. He was throwing a perfect game until Jackson Engel had a single up the middle. He ended up with a one hitter on, I think, 79 pitches, which is outstanding in high school baseball. You're averaging right about 11 pitches an inning. He didn't have a walk. So that set him up right there. They just didn't have the depth to play with Valley View in that semifinal game. They did everything they could, but kudos to Caleb Anderson. He had one of the top performances in any classification. But he definitely had the pitching performance during that 4A tournament.
And then going up to 5A, both of these teams we've talked about at length this year, Van Buren. I actually heard this game from across the way where I was watching the Van Buren and Benton softball game there at Majestic Park. And there was a lot of cheers from the Van Buren side. And looking at the score, I can certainly see why. And then Marion, another team that we've talked about, they were tied with Jonesboro. It seemed like every single week down the stretch there, we just kept talking about them being tied with Jonesboro for the 5A East. They shut out Sheridan, who really came on strong at the end of the season, 7-0 to face the Van Buren Pointers. Kevin, how do you see this one going?
Man, it is shaping up to a really good game. And I think we've talked about Van Buren plenty this year because they came in as the defending state champions, returned a lot off that team. Eli Gilruth, Devin Gaddis, Connor Brady. Those are the three guys that pitched for the Pointers in the first three rounds, and they won. So we expected them to be in the finals. How they were going to get there, we didn't know. They had Jonesboro in the second round. They beat them 4-3 in eight innings. Devin Gaddis threw a phenomenal game, eight-inning complete game. And he had the walk-off double to beat the Hurricanes and send them home for the second straight year. They got past Maumelle in round one, 4-1. They got to tag Andrews late, scored three runs in the sixth inning to win that game. But then the Batesville had run out of gas. Gage Wood pitched in the first round. Caleb Teague threw in the second round. So they had to throw freshman Mark Brissy, and he didn't have command. Van Buren was patient. They took their walks. They got on base and delivered the big hits when they needed to. They scored two in the first inning. Batesville tied it up 2-2, and then that was as close as the Pioneers got. Devin Gaddis had another big game, had a couple hits, a double. Malachi Henry had a double, the football stud who has offers from a lot of Ivy League schools. Head coach Mo Henry's son, really athletic family right there, but Malachi is their leadoff hitter. Devin Gaddis is their nine-hole hitter. Devin Gaddis is probably the best nine-hole hitter in the state. He's going to play college baseball. He's a utility knife. He plays second, short, third, pitch. We've seen what he did against Jonesboro. So Van Buren's expected to be there. But Marion, really good story right here. They outscored their opponents 22-0. They did not allow a run in the state tournament. They defeated Sheridan 7-0 on the back of Chase Armstrong, the Arkansas State commit or signee at this point. He shut them down on 83 pitches complete game. Chase actually got the ball in round one. He struggled. He hit the first two batters, and after 29 pitches, the head coach pulled him. He hardly ever pulled a guy that quick, especially your ace. Marion came back to win that game 10-0, and they dispatched the Benton 5-0. And you got to feel bad for the Panthers. The last 4 years when they've been beat out of the state tournament, they've been shut out. Marion beat them 5-0 this year. I think Sheridan – beat them a couple years ago. Greenwood beat them in the 2018 state finals, and they've just been shut out every year going out. So Benton will be back. Jake Jones, he threw a gem in round one. They beat Greenbrier, who was tied with Van Buren most of the year. They split their conference game, but Jake Jones threw a gem in round one. They were able to win 2-0 in eight innings. Mountain Home, they kind of shocked some people. They upset Little Rock Christian round one. They lost to Sheridan in the quarterfinals. But, yeah, we're really looking forward to that Van Buren-Marion match. I think it'll be the best game of the week, Kyle.
And then finally, last but not least, in Class 6A, Kevin, this Conway-Bentonville matchup is not necessarily shocking because we've talked about Conway a lot, particularly there in the Central, them, Cabot, and Catholic pretty much all year. And then you go to the West. I think it's a little shocking, mainly just because it was Rogers and Harbor that we were talking about pretty much all season. Because for a while, Harbor was rolling pretty much through in-state competition. They had only lost to top national competition, really, up until the end there. And so for Bentonville, again, I believe they were third place in the West. And then Conway, you thought that if there was going to be a Central team get in, it was probably at least on paper going to be Catholic. So what do you make of this matchup, and are you a little bit shocked to see? Not really shocked, because like I said, we talked about both of these teams, but did you maybe see it playing out a little bit differently than what it did?
Absolutely. I mean, yeah. You look at everything, the way it was stacking up on paper. So Bentonville, they tied for fourth in the Wild Wild West. Fort Smith Southside got the 3 seed. And the Mavericks beat Northside in the first round. But Bentonville drew North Little Rock. And anybody that's here following high school baseball the last 4 years knows that North Little Rock, this is their time to shine. They've been Cinderella. In 2019, they came back. They beat Van Buren in round one as the 6th seed. Then they beat Bryant in round two which shocked the state. Then they beat Bentonville West in the semifinals and, of course, upset Harbor in the state title game. They beat Blake Adams, who was a Razorback. Now he's at Kansas State. Last year, North Little Rock made it to the semifinals. So, hey, it's happening again. North Little Rock comes in as a 5 seed. Don't worry about it. Bentonville upset. They took them down 7-2. Rowan Christensen had a bases clearing double in the second inning. They got up 5-0 and rolled 7-2. The second round game is what shocked me. And I talked to Coach Dylan Owen about this. Lucas Greer is the UCA commit for Catholic. He had been their ace all season, but they got a 1B and 1C guy, or a 2A and 2B, and Grant Hodge and Cade Cartwright. Those guys are really good pitchers, and they could be the number one for just about a lot of teams in the state. So they started Grant Hodge, and after two innings, I think it was 5-0 Bentonville. Catholic came back. They got up to 6-6. They never went with Greer. They thought that Greer would give them the best chance to win on day two, but they never threw their ace. They kept their ace in the hole. They held it there, and it came back on them. Bentonville played a great game, got out to a big lead and held on 7-6. And then what a matchup yesterday on Saturday with Harbor. Harbor threw Cooper Dossett. Ross Felder had a 2-hit shutout against Cabot in the quarterfinals in Harbor's 4-0 win. Harbor got up 2-1 on a home run. The name escapes me right now. I apologize for that. They got up. They went up 3-1 on back-to-back home runs. And then Bentonville in the top of the seventh came back and scored 6 runs, the last of which was 4-3. And then Tony Woody, who had struck out 3 times, he got the golden sombrero. Came in and hit a 3-run bomb to make it 7-3 in a win over Harbor. So that put Bentonville in the finals. Conway took a little easier path. They beat Southside in round one, in the quarterfinals, 3-0. Hugh Hill came in relief of Austin Rainey. Conway had went against the grain this year, and in conference play, they would throw Austin Rainey as the starter, Preston Prock as the middle relief, and then Hugh Hill would come in and close out the game. Now, the innings may vary. They may go 2-3-2 or, 4-1-2, 4-2-1. It didn't matter, but those three usually threw every conference game down the stretch for the Wampus Cats. So Hugh Hill threw the last 6 innings of the win over Southside, and then Austin Rainey came back against Rogers Heritage, threw 5 innings, 3 hits, shut them out, 10-0 to put Conway in the finals. But, man, Rogers Heritage, what a story. We talked about it last week. They split with Rogers. Rogers had already clinched the conference title, so we didn't put too much stock into that win. And I want to apologize to every Rogers Heritage baseball player and Coach Brian Walker right now, because we should have put stock in it. They upset Rogers 9-8 on Friday and sent shockwaves throughout Class 6A and probably the rest of the state. They got down. They came back. Aiden Almeida was the starting pitcher that game. Got roughed up a little bit, but Heritage stayed with it. Coach Brian Walker was actually ejected in that game.
16 I think years it's, to the day.
16 years to the day he got tossed against Ole Miss in that conference game for the Razorbacks. Back in 2006, and I think it sparked the War Eagles. They won, but they ran into a Conway team. And, Kyle, this is where depth comes into play at the 6A level. That was Rogers' 3rd game in 3 days. That was only Conway's 2nd. So after an emotional game against your crosstown rival, the school that you split players with, when Rogers split was the top enrollment in the state. Now they had to split into 2 schools. Rogers Heritage had been the stepchild for a long time. Rogers won the state title last year. They had been number 2 all year until they beat Harbor, and then they were the number 1 team. And they were rolling. They were the glory pick of this tournament. But Rogers Heritage beat them. They beat them, soundly. They came back in Springdale and took it to them. They just ran out of gas against Conway. So Conway and Bentonville, the last time Bentonville made the state finals was 2015. They beat Conway 6-5 that night at Baum Stadium. Of course, Conway has made a state title game since then. They went in 2018, lost to Harbor right there. So should be a good matchup. I'm looking forward to it. You'll get to see that game on Thursday at 4 o'clock.
Yeah, and you can catch, of course, we would love for it to all, have all of you there, as many as possible, but if you're not able to make the games, you can catch them on both baseball and softball on PBS Arkansas. They do a fantastic job there. I was blessed to have been able to work with them during the football state championships, and so you can catch that on TV if you're not able to make the games. We did post, of course, you can find it on the AAA website. So Kevin and I both posted the schedules for soccer, baseball, and softball on our Twitter pages as well, and you can check out that schedule. But, Kevin, appreciate the analysis as always, my man. Great stuff, and we will catch up with you next week when we recap the state championship games.
That's right. Yeah, like Kyle said, if you get a chance, get down to Benton Thursday, Friday, or Saturday. It's going to be some really good baseball. Get out and support these young men and women who have put in a lot of blood, sweat, and tears to get to this point, and we'll finally get to see some dog piles.
And up next, we got Jared Hawthorne to talk some softball. We're now joined by our softball guru, Jared Hawthorne. And Jared, it's the last week. It's bittersweet, kind of just like what Kevin and I talked about. You love it, but hate it at the same time. We're going to see some great softball this weekend. Got softball, baseball, and, of course, soccer going on all in Benton. So going to be a fun weekend nonetheless, but it still does kind of suck a little bit because the season is almost over. The whole entire school year is over pretty much already, and so going to have to wait till fall until we get more high school sports.
Yeah, I'm a little kind of heartbroken over high school softball ending, but I'm really excited about travel ball starting, so I'm kind of torn between two worlds there.
Yeah, I was about to say softball, really, I guess for you, it's really doesn't, except for maybe 3 months out of the year, it doesn't really end, I guess, maybe 2 or 3 months out of the year.
We don't even end then because we practice at least once a week through the off season. So we work pretty hard for travel ball. And, you know, a lot of those kids are getting ready to get into high school ball. So we're working really hard to help get them there.
Yeah, so just like anything, it's pretty much a year-round deal now. None of this just doing the season like they used to do. It's definitely a year-round full-time job, regardless of what sport you're playing nowadays. And so we'll jump right into it in Class 1A. We've got Taylor versus Greers Ferry West Side, Greers Ferry, however you want to say it. And, Jared, it was pretty interesting how both teams got here, especially West Side, because in their semifinal game against Wonderview was a really good one. I was following it, and they were down 3-2 going into the bottom of the ninth. It was tied for the longest time, and then Wonderview took the lead. Then Westside tied it at 3, and then later on, Lacey Baker doubled to score a run and win the game 4-3. So Lacey Baker, the freshman, come on really strong as a great, great outfielder, been one of the premier ones, especially as an underclassman. And so, you know, we kind of touched on this off air just a second ago, but all season long, and I think that we can kind of get to the point now where we can throw out the window that this team or that team is a shoe-in to win, because I think Baptist Prep proved us wrong on that one, which we'll, of course, get all into that once we get into 3A. But the narrative has been all year that Taylor's going to win the state championship, and it's no questions asked. And I still am going to pick Taylor in this game, and I just don't know how you could pick against them just with what they've done, going for their fifth state title in a row. But McKenna Biddle has been great on – it's going to be McKenna Biddle versus Ayla Buford. That's what you would expect. She's been fantastic in the circle during the season, but she's just been on a completely different level during the postseason. And one team that I wanted to point out was Guy Perkins. They really showed out. We've mentioned them a couple of times here and there throughout the season. I know that they've been at least on our outside looking in on the rankings, but they really showed out. And Allison Rooney, their ace, it was absolutely nails in the circle. Pretty much has been during the entire postseason. Since the regional championship in a 6-0 win over Wonderview, she's gone 10-0 in the first – Guy Perkins has won 10-0 in a first-round matchup in the state tournament over Mount Ida, 3-0 over Armorell. And then they took Taylor through 5 scoreless innings. So she had those 5 scoreless – Rooney had those 5 scoreless innings against Taylor. And then in those other 3 games that I mentioned, she pitched 20 innings, allowed just 3 hits, walked 2 batters, and struck out 34. And so I think if McKenna Biddle can be herself and do exactly what she's been doing, and her and the batting lineup can do what they've been doing. Now, of course, Taylor, they've got a pretty powerful lineup themselves, and so that's going to be tough for Biddle to stop. But I think that this could be one of those either – 2-1 or 1-0 pitchers duels, or it's going to be possibly I don't really see a blowout here, whether that be Taylor or Wes. I don't see that happening. I think this is either going to be a pitcher's duel or it's going to be a high-scoring matchup that's going to come down to the end.
Yeah, I'll tell you, I think Taylor's bats are exceptional. I mean, you got some hitters in that group. You know, you got, I think it's Lauren Leonard that plays center field for him. She's got a big bat, got 10-plus home runs on the year. Carly Downs can just flat smash the ball, and she's great in, on defense. And then Ayla Buford is amazing. I mean, she's a great pitcher. She's a great hitter. She's just all-around great kid. I mean, there's just not really anything negative you can say about Ayla Buford on, in any front that you want to talk about. But, you know, looking at what McKenna Biddle has done through the playoffs, especially through districts and regionals and state, she was a really good pitcher all throughout the year, had great stats, but she turned it up more than a notch when she got into districts, regionals, and state, and that's a sign of a really great player. I mean, she really – she amped her play up another 2 or 3 levels, and she's been lights out, played great ball. It could easily be a pitcher's duel, but with the hitters on both sides, I feel like this is going to be one of those – maybe 5-5 games comes down to the wire. You know, I feel like Taylor wins this because I think they have a little bit more firepower on the offensive side. But I think it's going to be a real – I think it's going to be a tight game and maybe 5, 6, 7 runs scored each way.
Yeah, I just don't see this being – like typically whenever Taylor plays 1A competition, it's like a 10-0 or 15-0. And that certainly didn't happen against Guy Perkins. It did happen in their other two games. Now, they did spot Sacred Heart, I think, 2 or 3 runs in the first inning of the first-round matchup, and then they ended up blowing them out of the water and then beat Mammoth Spring pretty bad. But I'm with you. I look at this one, and I just, like I said, and then like you had mentioned too, I just see this being – I do think Taylor pulls it out, but I certainly see it being much closer than we might have thought even a week ago or certainly earlier on in the season. And I know that was something that we had discussed at length, was like the depth of the 1A2 where Greers Ferry comes from. Now, Taylor, their conference is not super deep or super loaded, anything like that. Now, Bradley did come on there at the end and then did lose a very big heartbreaker to Mount Vernon and NOLA, 11-10 in the first round of the state tournament. But after really just, I think, winning – I think it was 8 or 10 of their last games in the back end of the season. But yeah, I just don't see this being a blow, which you don't want it to be, because normally, like I said, whenever Taylor does play 1A competition, it's typically not one that's going to last very long. It normally doesn't go the full 7 innings. But I really do think that Westside, the way that they began to turn it on, and especially in the postseason, they've been good all season, but the way that they've been able to turn it on really shows a lot. And so, you know, I look at that and I was kind of shocked. Now, again, you know, Ouachita did play a Wonderview team that's been really hot. And I think going into next year with what Wonderview has coming back, that they're going to be a force to be reckoned with. But I was a little bit shocked to see Ouachita go down. I know that they had that disappointing loss to Bradley, disappointing in the sense that the how lopsided it was, 15-5. And just the way that Ouachita was pitching there down the stretch at the end of the season, the way that their defense was playing. I mean, they had Rayleigh Slate there if Matty Fulmer wasn't in the circle. And so I was a little bit shocked. That was one team that I was kind of surprised with how their season ended up going.
Yeah, I thought Ouachita was going to go at least a game, maybe two deeper than what they did. They had the talent for sure. They definitely had the pitching. Sometimes when you take a hard loss like they took to Bradley, it just changes the whole team dynamic. I've seen that with teams before. And sometimes when you take a loss like that, it's like you hit the reset button and you start all over. You lose that momentum you had. You lose that team mojo. You know, it's just when you've been in the dugout as a coach or a player or anything else, sometimes you have that little bit of extra, you know, energy and things that are going when you're winning. And when you take a loss, sometimes it's just hard to go again, to reset and find that energy over again. And I feel like maybe, you know, that's what happened, is after that hard loss to Bradley, they just couldn't quite turn it back on again.
Yeah, it's very tough. That's something that I know that I experienced as an athlete, one of those games that it's either going to make or break you. And I think that I don't want to say that it broke Wichita per se. I think you explained it very well right there, that sometimes it's just one of those deals to where you let the team that beat you pretty bad or upset you, whatever it may be, you let them beat you twice. And I think that maybe could have been what happened there. But you also can't take any credit away from Wonderview, because Wonderview, again, dang near clinched a spot in the state championship game. They were a walk-off away from that happening. And so got to give credit where credit is due. But, yeah, that was definitely a little bit shocking to see from Wichita there down the stretch. But going up to Class 2A, you got Tuckerman versus East Poinsett County. This is one that I think that we believe was going to happen, at least one of those four teams that we talked about between McCrory, East Poinsett County, Tuckerman, and Woodlawn. Also, we had talked about Woodlawn and Rector, kind of depending on what time of the year it was and who was doing what at that particular time and all. But for East Poinsett County, if they're going to win this game, now Tuckerman, we talked about the depth all year. They've got three solid pitchers. I mean, now that McKaylee Giss is healthy, they've got three solid pitchers that could just about go up against anybody. Extremely clutch, very powerful hitters, great defense. But if East Poinsett County is going to win this game, Keegan McCorkle has to be at her best. And she is one of the top pitchers in the state, definitely one of the top, I would say probably maybe one of the top two or three up in the Northeast area, but of the Northeast Arkansas area. But if they're going to – if EPC keeps it close, that's going to be the way to me that they're going to pull this one out. In their last eight games, three of them have been decided by one run, and EPC has won all of those. So I think that that's going to be key right there. But then again, you look back, and then it's like, are they going to be able to hit McKaylee? I saw this EPC lineup, and they're pretty good. They've got about three or four girls that can really swing it, that can really get on base and make things happen. But I think the question there is if Keegan McCorkle's at her best, what is Tuckerman going to be able to do against them? But also, what is EPC going to be able to do against McKaylee?
Well, I've said several times this year that if McKaylee is healthy, I like Tuckerman to win it all. And I don't think she's healthy, but I think she's healthy enough. She's proven over the last few weeks that she's healthy enough that she's getting the job done for sure. I just feel like if she's able to go short of, you know, a major setback injury-wise, I feel like Tuckerman wins this game. I feel like Tuckerman just has the total package. They can hit. They can play defense. They've got the pitching. They're loaded from top to bottom in their lineup. I think it's going to be a tough, close game, but I think Tuckerman probably wins this game. In my opinion, probably, you know, 3-4 runs anyway. Still, I think it'll be a really tough, hard-fought game, and it'll probably come down to the last couple of innings on who separates herself a little bit.
Yeah, and Tuckerman's shut just about everybody out. I think it's 4 or 5 of their last 8 that they've had a shutout, and one of the most recent ones, or the most recent one, was against conference foe Melbourne. Melbourne came on very strong. Natalie Brightwell, she threw 2 shutouts in a row, including defeating Woodlawn, that upset there, and the 1-0 victory over the Lady Bears in the first round. And then ended up getting to the semifinals where they lost 7-0 to Tuckerman. But definitely got to give a shout to Melbourne there for what they were able to do. And also to two teams, we talked about one of these last week, but Lavaca and Quitman were two that really impressed me. Quitman, I know that we've mentioned maybe them. I don't know that we've mentioned them a lot on here. I think that we probably slept on them a little too much. I know that I certainly did. I was keeping up with them some this year, but I wasn't really too incredibly crazy about their schedule, so I think that might have been one of the reasons why I overlooked them a bit. They did have some pretty good wins. The Gosnell win looked really good for a little bit. Now, of course, Gosnell, you know, fell off there, and they had some good wins over a few of the top 1A teams, and then they did what they did in the postseason, and that was get to the semifinals and just barely lost in walk-off fashion to EPC. And so certainly got to give it to the Quitman Bulldogs. Jared, we featured a couple of their players. We knew that they were talented, that they had some extremely talented seniors that were had been starting for them and contributing heavily for a little while. But and then also, too, in the Quitman-Lavaca game, I'm not sure if you knew the details of that, but so Quitman was up 8-0, I think, going into the bottom, or I think it was the bottom of the ninth. But I do know that they were up 8-0. Lavaca gets 5 runs, and they load the bases with 2 outs, and then ends up, of course, Quitman won it. But the fight from Lavaca there to come back and then dang near just about score 8 runs in one inning to come back, that's pretty crazy. But I think that those were two teams, Lavaca and Quitman. Lavaca really came on towards the back end of the season when they had a good rest of their regular season. Then they ended up beating Mansfield 1-0 for the regional championship. But I just wanted to make sure that, of course, I mentioned those two. And then also Fordyce, another one that had – they lost 3-0 in the quarterfinals to EPC. They were a fantastic team this year that played probably, maybe outside of Tuckerman, the toughest schedule in Class 2A. So big shout-out to Quitman, Lavaca, and Fordyce. I know that we didn't talk at length maybe about them that we did some of the other teams that were a little bit higher in our Super 7 polls, but all three of those teams definitely made some noise in the postseason.
Yeah, without a doubt. And I'll tell you one thing that probably for me on Quitman, I think Quitman, Hazen, Bigelow, there were several of those teams up that direction that had a lot of rainouts early.
Yes.
And they missed a lot of softball early. And so some of those teams I didn't dig into early in the year or really try to get as much on them because they just didn't have a very big body of work to look at. And later in the year, you know, all three of them kind of came on strong, those three that I just mentioned. You know, Hazen played much better towards the end of the year as they came on, and I really thought they might have a little shot at playing a dark horse. Bigelow played really well. I think they even got a win over Magnet Cove a week or two before regionals. And then Quitman obviously played lights out the last 6-8 games there at the end. Really played well until they got put out. But, you know, those teams, I think we maybe we slept on them a little bit. Maybe it was the fact that they had a lot of rainouts early and didn't quite have the body of work as some of the others. But they all three had good years. But Quitman, without a doubt, they made a good, long, hard push there at the end and almost made it all the way through state. And then, you know, talking about EPC and Tuckerman a minute ago, I haven't got to see EPC play in person yet this year. I've heard great things about them. I would have loved to have watched them play. And I want to try to get there and watch them play for the state championship if I can at all. But with Tuckerman, I just, like I said, they're just so deep. It's hard to pick against them. And with what East Poinsett County's done, it's hard to pick against them too. Early in the year when they were like 10-12-1, I was thinking, is this team for real? They look good on paper. Are they for real? Well, obviously they were for real.
Yeah.
And so I really like to be able to watch this game. I'm going to try to adjust my schedule work-wise and get where I can be there to watch that game. But I think that's going to be a really good game. I like Tuckerman to win it, but I think it's going to be a really good game.
Yeah, I saw EPC in 3 games in the 2A North Regional, and I really like Natalie Dunman. Their entire outfield, Natalie Dunman at right, Mercedes at center, and I think, Cameron Argo at left. Argo's not great at the plate, but she is definitely one of their more athletic players that can really fly around. And also, too, J.C. Davis, Taryn Powell, their leadoff hitter is pretty good. J.C. Davis. I mean, Coach Powell has moved around a lot of the girls just because, like, at the beginning of regionals, the back half was doing really good, like the 7, 8, 9 hitters. And then he moved some of those around to, like, the 2 and 3 hole. And so he's kind of done some adjustments, and it wouldn't shock me to see that happen against Tuckerman, too, to kind of mix things up a little bit. But Class 3A, holy crap. Jared, it makes my head hurt just with all the stuff that happened. First of all, you know, we got to give major, major, major props to Hackett. The first thing that I did after this game, I knew he wasn't going to respond for a little while, but the first thing I did was text Oxford, and I was like, hey, I'm going to go back and I'm going to go delete all of my clips of me saying that Brabus Prep was going to run away with it and this and that. And, of course, we had a good laugh over that. But first of all, extreme props to Baptist Prep, because they may have lost, but with what those girls have accomplished, I mean, they beat some 5 and 6A teams this year, not just any 5 and 6A team, like ones that are ranked, really good ones. They played an extremely tough schedule. Tim Yelvington is known to do that, to schedule extremely tough, higher than their 3A classification. So you can't take anything away from what Baptist Prep did. I mean, even Mackenzie Childers, one of the best pitchers in the state, going to North Texas, she had 22 strikeouts, even though the Lady Eagles lost. But so got to give them their credit where credit is due. But Hackett had possibly their biggest win in their at the school's athletic history. I mean, that is a massive win, not just to beat number one, but to beat a team of that magnitude that Baptist Prep is. Just absolutely incredible. The will and the – I saw on one of the – I believe it was Bridget Freeman that posted it on her first. Somebody commented on it, just talked about, you know, the will that this Hackett team had. Yes, they had a lot of will, but they're also extremely talented too. Her daughter, Mackenzie, an extremely talented freshman pitcher. Her other daughter, Madeline, that was a third baseman, a senior third baseman, also a really good player. We featured both of them. And so Hackett didn't just win because of the will. They are also extremely talented as well. Now, they did lose 5-0 to Ashdown in the semifinals. But you talk about that game, Jared, but then you also talk about what Atkins did. You talk about what Ashdown, you know, we've been pretty high on them all year. We've been pretty high on Atkins, but they've been sort of in the lower tier of our Super 7 rankings. We certainly didn't see Mayflower coming this far. I think that you and I could sit with what we knew about them, all those freshmen that they have, we could see them doing some big things maybe next year or the year before. But we certainly never, ever predicted a semifinal matchup that would be Mayflower versus Atkins. I don't think anybody saw that coming.
No, I mean, I personally didn't. And I like Mayflower, and I think they've got a lot of talent, a lot of young talent too. Mayflower, I personally had picked, you know, making it to state, but that was about it. Probably getting put out in the first round, definitely not getting as far as they did. You know, Baptist Prep, we were talking about them. It's just, I'm going to say this plainly, Baptist Prep was the best team in 3A this year. As far as the best team overall for the season, it was Baptist Prep. But when you play your best ball on the right day, you can beat anybody. And Hackett proved that. Hackett, I'm going to tell you this, too, about Hackett. If your name's Oxford or Freeman at Hackett, you're a pretty dang good ball player. So, you know, they got some talent up there. There's no doubt about it. They were a strong team all year. They took a couple of losses there late in the year. Everybody kind of backed off of them a little bit. But they played a lot of good ball all year long, had a really good record, and they just played the game of their lives at the right time to knock off somebody that was, in my opinion, a superior team. And they didn't play bad. You know, Baptist Prep did not play bad. Hackett just played really well. Baptist Prep, if you tell me that a pitcher has 22 strikeouts, I think it was 29 batters faced, I'm going to say, yeah, that team probably won the game. Well, that's what happened. She had 22 strikeouts out of, I believe it was 29 batters face, and they lost. So, you know, tell me how often that's going to happen. Well-placed hits at the right time, just circumstances lining up just right, all the stars line, and Hackett got it done because they played great ball at the right time. Baptist Prep played a good ball game and just couldn't quite pull it off. You know, there was a lot of upsets, and you go over to Atkins, with Atkins, they were solid all year. They were in the top seven on and off all year, just outside of it a lot of times. I really thought they were going to be a second round state team, in my opinion. Well, they proved that they could go a little further. They found a little magic at the right time, and, they were always a good team, and they found the how to put it together and got hot at the right time. And, you know, they're putting themselves in a position to have a chance at a state championship. Of course, Ashdown's going to have a little bit to say about that. And Ashdown, I told you early in the year, Ashdown is a machine when it comes to softball. They just consistently produce talented softball players and good teams. And I mean, year after year, Ashdown's got good players, good teams. That area down there close to Texarkana, it is just it's a talent machine, and they're going to – I guarantee you that's going to be a really tight, hard-fought ball game with Atkins and Ashdown. And I wouldn't bet against either one of those in that game. I don't know that I'd make a prediction in that game. I'd have to flip a coin just for who I think would win that game. They both have different strengths and different weaknesses. You know, without a doubt, Ashdown's good on the bases. They've got good sticks, decent pitching, and decent defense for sure. Atkins has good pitching. They can hit the ball. You know, I mean, there's just a lot of strengths on both sides. So I don't know that I'd do that. I'll tell you, one of the surprises for me was that Boonville and Lincoln went out as early as they did. I really thought those were both at least semifinal teams. You know, I really thought they would have a chance to go push Baptist Prep. And they went out a little bit earlier than I thought they would. But, you know, it's all about teams being hot at the right time.
I was actually going to – that was going to be my next question before we move on here was, if I would have told you – let's back up to this time last week. If I would have told you that Baptist Prep, Lincoln, and Boonville were not going to be in the semifinals, how hard would you have slapped me?
Well, I'd have thought you were on drugs or something for sure.
But, yeah, it's probably going to be – see, I and a lot of people I don't know that would really know a ton about Ashdown and Atkins. It's more than likely going to be two sophomores in the circle, Madison Cook for Ashdown and Libby May for Atkins. I've talked with Coach Porter a good bit from Atkins about Libby May throughout this year. I've been very high on her. And then of course, Madison Cook, all of them down there in Southwest Arkansas, have been extremely high on her. And so, you know, I don't really know about this one. I feel like, as opposed to a pitcher's duel, that this is going to be one where the bats get hot, because the Flores, I know Kristen Flory, at least the catcher, got a pretty good bat there at Atkins. And both of these teams can swing it really well. I think actually Ashdown's got the girl, I think Kaylee Walker, their third baseman, she's got like 10 or 11 home runs. And then also Ashdown has another girl that has like 8 or 9. So they can really swing it as well. So, yeah, you're definitely right about that. Going to be extremely hard-fought matchup there. But going to Class 4A, we've got Nashville versus Valley View. Jared, we've been talking about this all year, and again, not even going to come close to throwing out that, especially in Class 4A, because it has been, for the most part, one of the more wide-open classes out of all of the six classes that we have. But I look at Valley View, and I really like what they can do with their hitting. Mackenzie Whitlock, their freshman shortstop, is absolutely phenomenal. They've also got a really good catcher, I know. But Nashville 1-9, they're 1-9 batters, and Macy McJunkins in the circle, that's just extremely scary. The fact that they have beaten or hung with so many teams that are some of the state's best in higher classes, what they've done to 4A competition, that's an extremely good class, and also what they've done to 4A competition in the 4A7, the toughest conference hands down this year in 4A softball. It's very hard for me to imagine that this senior class that has been through so much, that fell in the semifinals last year and has played together for so long and have accomplished so much together, that they're going to be the Nevada State Championship before they go out.
Well, I'll tell you, I would say before I watched Valley View the other day, I would have said absolutely Nashville wins this game, probably wins it 10, 12 runs. But I'm going to tell you, I watched Valley View play in person the other day. First time I've got to see them this year. I was really impressed with them. They have some absolute hitters on that team. They're gonna at least put a bat on the ball. I won't say that they're going to score a lot of runs, but they're going to put a bat on the ball. And Nashville has an excellent defense. So Nashville's defense may be able to keep the runs from happening. But I'll tell you, Valley View, I was very impressed with them. Their shortstop that you mentioned, she can absolutely crush the ball. When I was watching their game, she hit a ball at shortstop so hard that it literally ripped through the end of the shortstop's glove. Not the shortstop missed the ball. It went in the end of her glove, peeled her glove over backwards, and went straight on into the outfield. And then the next time up at bat, she hit a ball so hard at the third baseman that she couldn't even get her glove up. It hit her face mask and hit the side of her glove in her hand and knocked her just about off of her feet. She just hits laser beams. So that kid is for real. I think she's committed to Arkansas Tech already. Just a very legitimate, just amazing ball player. And she made several outstanding defensive plays at shortstop. I was very impressed with Valley View shortstop. And then the rest of the team, they just hit the ball really hard the other day. I mean, seemed like every kid on that team had at least a hit in the game that I watched against Malvern the other day. And Malvern's pitching was very solid. It wasn't like they were going up against somebody that wasn't throwing good. Malvern had good, solid pitching, and Valley View just smashed the ball around. But on the flip side of that, I really believe that Nashville, with the senior class, like you talked about, they're going to play lights out. They're going to play great defense. They're going to Macy McJunkins is going to pitch well. If she doesn't, I'll be blown away. And I think it's going to be a tougher game, especially with the way Valley View's playing right now, than what they've seen in 4A. But I like Nashville to win it. I think Nashville probably wins this game, you know, like a 10-5 game, something like that.
Yeah, you know, I was thinking whenever Macy gave up that grand slam in the quarterfinals in the first inning against Morrilton, all I could think about was what I put in her blurb on the pitcher's list that Boomer Brown had told me. He said, you know, one thing about Macy is that she's got a short memory. She doesn't really get too excited when good things happen. She doesn't get down on herself when bad things happen. And I guarantee you, she knew, first of all, she trusted herself. That's why she's one of the many reasons why she's such a good player. But she also trusted her teammates. And her teammates came back. Of course, Macy came out, hit that, I think it was a two-run homer in the bottom of the first. I know it was a homer, I believe two-run. And then the Nashville bats just got hot after that, and they ended up beating Morrilton 16-6. And then the next day, I'm going to be honest with you, I thought that the Stuttgart-Nashville game, that was really probably the state championship right there. No disrespect to anybody on the other side of the bracket, but I just felt like that really those have been the two best teams. I mean, you look at it, Stuttgart beat Valley View, they beat Bauxite, they've beaten a lot of really good teams this year. I felt like that they are probably the second best team in Class 4A. I actually still feel that way, to be completely honest, in my heart at least. Maybe the rankings might not reflect that, but that's the way I feel in my heart. And then you come to the Nashville-Stuttgart game, and I think that a big reason for Emma Banks struggling in that one was just because she was probably pretty fatigued from throwing. And again, I'm not speaking for her, but just kind of, you know, common sense would tell you after throwing 150 plus pitches in a game against Gravett in a pitcher's duel in eight innings, that you're going to be pretty tired. You're going to be pretty gassed. And so I would imagine that probably had something to do with it in that game, because that was probably the most that Emma has struggled this year, albeit against a really, really, really good team. But it really is just hard for me to imagine Valley, and as good as Valley View is at the plate, just all around. I mean, the fact that they got here shows, you know, what kind of talent they have. But talking about Valley View, you know, of course, we've been high on them pretty much all year, had them high in the rankings for a little while. But I got to give a shout-out to Harrison for what they've been able to do. I know you and I have had them on our radar. We've talked a lot off-air about them, some of the things that they've been able to do this year. But both the Harrison softball and baseball teams, the baseball team is playing for a state championship. They're going to play I think they're actually playing Valley View for the baseball state championship as well. And so neither one of these teams was supposed to be there at this point, the baseball team in the state championship, the softball team in the semifinals. But nonetheless, they got there. And that was, I guess you could say, a little bit surprising considering the fact that they did beat Bauxite, who I think that you and I both had them, the Lady Miners, going a little bit further.
Yeah, I definitely would have thought the Bauxite would have got that win, but we may have talked about this off the air, but I knew Harrison had the talent to make a long run. They are very talented. There's a lot of good ball players on that team, but they just hadn't seemed to be able to put it together. I don't know what the issues were early. You know, I don't know if there was just trying to gel as a team or figure things out or what, but they struggled early in the year, and then it seemed like they just got better and better and better towards the end. And once they figured it out, things definitely got to where they were playing their best ball the last two, three, maybe four games of the year. And they really came on and won some games when it really mattered. And beating Bauxite was huge. They played a knockdown, drag out ball game with Bauxite and managed to get the win. Harrison has the talent to play with anybody, and whatever the formula was the last few games of the year, they found what was working and they played great ball. Like I said, there's a lot of good ball teams in 4A. We talked about it all year long, how deep they were. I really thought Box Height was going to be at least a semifinal team, if not a championship, you know, playing for a championship. They definitely have talent, but Box Height has quite a bit of young talent, so it won't be surprising at all to see Box Height back, probably making a semifinal run or maybe in a chance at a state championship next year.
And then going to 5A, so Benton has not allowed a run in the postseason. I believe it's 17-0. They outscored their opponents most recently in a 10-0 shutout victory over Van Buren to advance to the state championship. If somehow, some way, Greene County Tech is able to rattle Alyssa Houston, I imagine she's going to be the pitcher for this one. If somehow, some way, they're able to rattle her, which Alyssa's got like a 0.65 ERA or something crazy, then Elena Scott's going to come in right behind her. Scott's got not much worse than that, like a 0.70, 0.71, just both pitching and playing out of their minds. I don't see both of them struggling. I don't know that I see either one of them doing it. But, you know, Jared, it's just Benton's. They are what they are. They're 62-0 dating back to last season. They really don't have much more to prove, but especially if they – I mean, I think that they're going to go down as quite possibly the best team to ever play in Arkansas high school softball history. But you also got to give Greene County Tech their due. All season they've been consistent. They lost the game, so in a doubleheader, they won the first game against Batesville, lost the second one in that controversy. I guess you could call it a controversy in a way. I know that you know, some would call it that, but they lose to Batesville, and then right after that they lose to Benton on the road 3-0. The Lady Eagles have not lost since losing to Benton, and so you know that they're going to be on a mission. They hit it really well. I mean, in the Sheridan, I know that you were also at the Sheridan Greene County Tech game. I mean – Coach Hoffman essentially, I mean, he told me verbatim, we just ran out of gas. And I think that was evident by the way that it was looking. You know, I think that Coop was pretty tired in that game too. Of course, she had pitched two really good games the day before against Valonia and also against Paragould. But really what happened in that one was just everything was going right for Greene County Tech and nothing was going right for Sheridan.
Yeah, and that game with Greene County Tech and Sheridan, watching that one, I'm going to be honest with you. I think you're right. I think Sheridan ran out of gas. I think Greene County Tech just wanted it. By the end of the first inning, you just had a feeling that Greene County Tech was going to win that game. They were going to win it going away. And I know that, you know, the game was in question through – 3 to 4 innings maybe, but you could feel the momentum shifting to Greene County Tech. There was a few calls that I don't think went Sheridan's way that, you know, were maybe questionable calls, but they didn't change the outcome of the game in any way. Greene County Tech just outplayed Sheridan on that day. You know, I feel like Sheridan definitely ran out of gas. By the third or fourth inning, you could tell they just had that look like, this is going to be a tough day. And, yeah. You know, there's a lot of young talent there on that Sheridan team, and they're going to be back and they're going to be in this picture for state championship for the next 2, 3, 4 years. But, on that day in Hot Springs, Greene County Tech just had that fire. They were lit up. They were ready to go, and they just played great ball. And if they can play like that when they go and play Benton for state championship, they have a chance. If they don't come out like that, then I think it's going to be lopsided. Benton wins this by 5, 6, 7, 8 games, you know. And I'll tell you, Whitehall played Benton really tough in the game before that. You know, Whitehall played a very respectful game. They played hard, only lost 4-0 to Benton, and left it all on the field. They just couldn't quite get it done.
Yeah, talking about Sheridan there, you know, the future, like I'll say with Sheridan and Valonia, that's two teams that I think that for the next 3 years we could possibly see in a state championship more than once, or at least deep in the postseason. Watching Valonia had the best upset win in Class 5A, defeating BB in the first round. And you look at the freshmen like Lila Toll and Dita Porterfield, Emma Sowell. There's another one or two in there that I'm missing, maybe even more than that. But Bologna, tons and tons of talent there, along with Sheridan. You know, when you got the Cooper Terrys, the Callie Kilburns, the all those underclassmen there that Coach Hoffman has at his disposal. I think that, yeah, they only graduate Riley Gillis at Sheridan, and then Bologna only has a couple of seniors as well. So those are two. And I think Van Buren is also going to be pretty good next year, competing for the West once again, and could make a deep postseason run. Van Buren does lose about three or four girls that are key. Marley Mills, I know, is being one. That's the first one that pops off the top of my head. But then they've also got a lot of sophomores and juniors that have contributed a lot as well. But going back to the Benton GCT game, I mean, I really like GCT. I've liked them all year. I mean, you look at they've got a very powerful lineup too. You know, Carly Burrow is really good in the circle, and then also Kylie Stokes and Carly Hollis was one that I was really impressed with yesterday on Saturday. Ava Carter. I mean, they got some girls that can really, really swing it. But like I said, man, it's tough to them because Alyssa Houston and Elena Scott both have shut down some of the state's top hitters. And it's just really hard for me to imagine. I mean, it's just going to have to be one of those deals to where everything is going to have to go their way just because, I mean, Benton's really got – I think between Shelby Samples, Alyssa Houston, and Elena Scott, if you take them away, Benton is still a really good softball team. But just with those three, in my opinion, that's what makes them elite. Having Samples there at shortstop with what she's able to do as the leadoff hitter. I believe she's the leadoff hitter, one of the early ones. And then every time I've seen Houston and Scott play, they've both played out of their minds. I mean, I just don't know if it's possible for them to have a bad game. But it is just kind of it's tough for me to imagine that if one of them struggles, talking about Houston and Scott still, that the other is not going to come in and take care of any kind of mess that might possibly need to be cleaned up.
Yeah, I definitely like Benton, but I was super impressed with Green County Tech, and I did not catch her name when I was there watching the game, but I want to give a little bit of a shout out to Green County Tech's pitcher who pitched against Sheridan the other day. That young lady pitched an amazing game in that game against Sheridan. She kept hitters off balance all day long. Say that again.
Carly Burrow.
Okay, Carly Burrow, she pitched a great game against Sheridan, and she just kept them off balance. Even when they hit the ball, they just weren't hitting the ball that solid. I think there was maybe two, maybe three really solid hits that whole game from Sheridan where the ball was, you know, hit hard. And then when they did overall put a bat on the ball, Green County Tech's defense was just outstanding on that day.
Oh, yeah, that's just pretty much what you just said. I mean, just because through three innings, 6-0, and then they just continued to pour it on. I believe it was, if I'm not mistaken, it was Stokes that hit that two-run homer that put it at 8-0. And it was just, like I said, really could do no wrong whatsoever for Green County Tech there. And they're going to need to continue some of that magic to take down Benton because, I mean, man, it's if you're Benton, you're thinking about it, you're like, man, we got, you know, two straight undefeated seasons that we're playing for, two straight state titles on our home turf. So Green County Tech's going to have to take some of that magic into the Benton complex if they're going to win state and take down the Lady Panthers. And finally, in Class 6A, Jared, I think that this matchup between Bentonville and Cabot, this is what we saw and we're predicting pretty much up until about maybe early to mid-April. I think, and a lot of that was just because, you know, Cabot did lose four of their last eight regular season games, but it was to tough competition. Like, I think they did lose to Green County Tech and Benton. I think Conway might have been one of those losses. I can't, but I know that they lost four of their last eight, but we knew that the talent was there. And Bentonville is playing in their sixth straight state title. They're also playing for back-to-back, but Cabot beat Bentonville in 2019 for the state title. And so I kind of feel about like this matchup that I did about East Poinsett County and Tuckerman in 2A. I feel like if this is a low-scoring game, that it works in Cabot's favor. This is going to be probably a Caleb Bernard against Casey Wood. Either Casey Wood or Ryan Sanders is going to be that pitcher matchup there. But I feel like if this is a low-scoring game, that Cabot could take it, but there's not many teams out there that has kept Bentonville from scoring a lot this year.
Yeah, I'm going to be honest with you. Early in the year, I said that there was four teams in 6A that I felt like had a chance. And Cabot and Bentonville were two of the four. And then Bryant and Rogers were the other two. Well, that was your four semifinal teams. That class held really true to what we thought it was going to do. And Cabot, without a doubt, is loaded. But Bentonville is loaded plus some. And so I just I don't know. I think you're right on that. I think Bentonville is probably going to put a lot of runs on the board. And Cabot, they're good. I just don't see them being built as a team that can win a boat race or a high scoring affair. I think Benton probably wins this one of those like 8-9, 10-2 or 3. But if Cabot plays well and pitches well and can keep it close, like you said, that gives them the chance. If they can keep it low scoring under 5-6 runs, Cabot's best shot is there.
Yeah, because I really like a Caleb Bernard one. That's a pitcher that we did feature on the pitchers list. But like we've talked about her, we've mentioned her on the podcast. But I mean, I think that she, when she's at her best, you know, when you talk about the Casey Woods, the Ryan Sanders, with Ella Beeman, I couldn't think of her name from Rogers. Ella Beeman from Rogers, the Caitlin Erickson's from Conway. Some of those top pitchers. Allie White's really stepped up for Bryant this year. Some of those top pitchers in Class 6A, I mean, Kayla's right up there. I mean, and she's – whenever we talk about some of the top ones in the state, I think when she's at her best, she is there. So this could be – I mean, there's not going to be very shocking to me with all the great pitching that we have in all of these games, and that's – I mean, that's how you get the state. You got to have at least one consistently solid pitcher. It wouldn't shock me to see a lot of low-scoring games, but just with the fact that Bentonville – I mean, you look at what they did to Bryant, 13-3. And what they've done to other North Little Rock, you know, a pretty good team, got off to a 2-0 lead on them, and then Bentonville just opened the floodgates. And even Bentonville has scored a lot of runs for pretty much on Rogers too, another team that we've been really high on, had at number two for most of the year. And so I think, again, I still like Bentonville in this game, but I'll say if Cabot can keep them to maybe like 3-4 runs, which is extremely, extremely tough to do, way easier said than done. I think that Cabot can pull this out if they only have to score like 4 or 5 runs. I certainly think that could happen.
Yeah, I believe you're right on that. When it comes to it, it's going to have to be a lower scoring affair to give Cabot the chance. I just feel like Bentonville is going to score. They have the potential to score a lot more runs, I feel like, as far as the hitting side of things. So, definitely, I think the low-scoring affair favors Cabot maybe a little bit, and anything else probably goes Bentonville's way.
And before we get off here, I want to repeat what I had said in the first segment. If you are not able to make it to these games, then you can catch it on PBS and also on 103.7 The Buzz. If you are driving in your car, they'll also, I believe, have those streams on there, if I'm not mistaken. But it definitely will be on Arkansas PBS. You can check all the scheduling either on my Twitter at @K_Sutherland, SUTHERLANDAR. That is my Twitter handle. I've got, I do tweet a lot, so I might have to scroll down a little bit, but I've got all of the schedules for softball, baseball, and soccer on there. And you can check all that out, of course, at the AAA website. But also, too, I want to give a shout-out to some of the ones that helped me during the state tournament. Jared, I know you helped with some of the scores from down there in Class 4A when you were in Nashville. Also, when I was not able to make it to Majestic Park for 5A, so I certainly appreciate that, as I always appreciate the work you do for Scorebook Live. And also in Class 1A, Corey Brown, who, of course, is the coach for Washtenaw, he was feeding me some scores and scorebooks from that tournament since they were hosting it. Chris Vines also helped out a ton with the Class 2A tournament. There's so many other. I know Chris really helped me out with stats from the Tuckerman and Melbourne games. He's pretty connected in those. And so just everybody that sent me scores, whether the parents, the coaches, you definitely helped out our coverage for SB Live and certainly kept me updated in a great way to help get that out there. So that way we could do these roundups and keep everybody notified on all of the softball scores that happened throughout the state tournament. But that will do it. Jared, it's crazy, man. Like I said, you know, at the top of the show, at this segment, and this is our second to last softball segment. At least we might have something a little bit on down the line, you know, once, I don't want to say it yet because it's not a guarantee that's going to happen, but at least next week we will have one more segment recapping the games, but it has certainly been a ton of fun this year.
Yeah, absolutely. I've had a blast. I love softball, and so this is right up my alley. You know, I enjoy watching softball, whether it's travel ball or high school ball or younger kids playing. I just really enjoy the game of softball. I was a baseball guy, and I started coaching because my daughter played, and I just fell in love with the game of softball. And not that I don't love baseball too, but softball has kind of been my passion for a while now. And this has been a lot of fun this year. Enjoyed it, and can't wait to see what happens with these state championship games. But kind of a little bit of a sad note to be wrapping it up for the season.
Yeah, just going to soak it in all that I can, but and all that we can. But guys, don't forget, you can check all of our coverage. Of course, we have the rankings for the next couple of weeks for baseball and softball. And also, we will have – I'm going to try to put out a preview of all of the softball games 1 through 6A by Wednesday. So you can check that out. You can always go to our website, scorebooklive.com, where you can listen to the podcast and also read our content under the Arkansas tab in the top left corner. And you can also listen to the podcast on Spotify. And also, too, if there's anything we're missing ever, you can please let us know at arprepextra@gmail.com. That's arprepextra@gmail.com. We would love to hear from you. For Kevin Bohannon and Jared Hawthorne, I'm Kyle Sutherland. We will catch you next week.